Okay, I did a redesign on the church in Uganda. And I needed to make it a more of a straight building. So that's what we're working on there. And if God puts it on your heart to help us build that church, you just let me know, amen. And they don't have the money to do this. So if it's going to get done, it's going to be by us helping them. So if the Lord puts it on your heart, if you've got some money set aside that you've been looking for something to do, just let me know, and we'll get it over there and get started on that thing. Amen? Okay, so today is part two of detox, because we need to keep detoxing from the world. So if you stand with me, we're going to read today out of Romans chapter 8, 12 through 17. I'm reading out of New Living Translation. I just love the way it puts it here. It says, "Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received a spirit which makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father. For his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering." Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Holy Spirit. I thank you that you sent the Holy Spirit to empower each one of us, that we don't have to continue in our sin, but Lord, you've sent the Spirit to empower us to overcome that nature. And so, Lord, I pray that the Spirit of God nature would rise up inside of each one of us today, that, Lord, that we could put the fleshly things, Lord, down and let the Spirit of God arise in each one of us. That, Lord, that we would be light and salt in our community and in our families. Lord, we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So God is calling us to be salt and light. Amen. I love this part. He says, you have no obligation. You have no, we don't have an obligation to the sin. Amen. But in Romans 8:26, remember what I read this to you last week, said the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. How many of you have weaknesses? Okay, so the Holy Spirit is sent to help us in our weaknesses. Amen? And he gives us an example. Because, see, our weaknesses are just so much more than just the, it's not always about drinking and smoking and doing drugs or cussing or swearing or committing adultery or any of that stuff. It's not always about that, our weaknesses. But he deals with our weaknesses here. So, for example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for. He labels this as a weakness, not knowing how to pray. It's just like Bob Massard was in the hospital last night, and Sandy, I did not get that text. I heard through the grapevine this morning. But he was in the hospital last night, and so I didn't know exactly how to pray for him, so I prayed in the Spirit for him. Because out of the Spirit, God will show me what's going on, and I can pray. But out of my spirit, I was praying. So the Holy Spirit showed me what to pray. So I prayed in tongues for him. Amen. And I believe that God's going to raise him up today, that it's not going to be an issue. But the Holy Spirit prays with us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. So the Holy Spirit will pray through us when we don't know what to pray. Amen. You understand? So that, and he labels that as a weakness, not knowing what to pray. And listen, we don't always know what to pray. We don't always know how to pray. You know, I have people all the time that come to me and say, "Just pray, Pastor." I'm like, "All right, you want me to walk in the Spirit right now. So whatever comes up is going to come up, okay? So I'll pray for you, but whatever he tells me, that's what's going to come up." So you might not want to do that all the time. But when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, it's amazing what God can do. See, it's just like when we come to Jesus and if the darkness that's in our lives, I know that we're forgiven of our sins, and he washes us and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Amen? But how many of you sinned this week? Okay, so we're being, some of us are being honest. You didn't sin this week? You did? Right. She's like, it's a given. Come on. No. But what I want to tell you is, you know, being filled with the Spirit is meant to help you. It's meant to overcome your weaknesses. But, you know, praying in tongues, what praying in tongues will do for you, being filled with the Spirit will do for you, is if the water represents the Spirit and we have these things inside of us that we're trying to get rid of. You see, what we tend to do is we tend to focus on these things. Oh, I do this, I do that. And, you know, but God doesn't want us to focus on this. He wants us to focus on Him. Amen. He wants us to focus on the Spirit. You say, well, I can't pray in tongues today because I sinned. Well, that's when you need to pray in tongues. That's when you need to start praying in tongues. Because when you're receiving, and it says in Ephesians, it says, don't get drunk with wine. Don't be drunk with the natural sources. Get drunk in the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit constantly, amen? So I get filled by praying in the Spirit. When I start praying in the Spirit, I feel the Spirit of God come in me. I feel the Spirit of God moving in me. See, because when I'm praying in the Spirit, and I'm just getting poured in, I'm not focusing on the darkness that's in me. I'm focusing on the Spirit. And the more that I pour the Spirit of God inside of me, the more that the darkness has to leave, amen? I'm not focusing on my darkness or my weaknesses. I'm focusing on my Spirit and allowing God to move in me. And pretty soon, I'm moving out of the overflow of what God is doing. So I keep pouring in, and just the goodness of God keeps pouring out. So that when I'm pouring out, the purity of God is pouring through me, amen? It's not just Ron King, it's the Spirit of God moving me. So that's why Paul says, pray in the Spirit. So when you pray in the Spirit, man, it's amazing. The purity that will come through your life. The life-changing things that will happen when you're praying in tongues, when you're ministering to people. Because you say, you know, God has called us all to be ministers. Yes, every one of you to be ministers, amen? You may say, well, I don't feel called to be a minister, but you are called. He filled you with His Spirit so you could be a witness. And it's not, you say, well, I'm not going to go stand on the street corner. And you know what? 99% of you will never be behind the pulpit. But He is filling you so that you can share with your family, so that you can tell your brothers and sisters, hey, this is the way, walk in it. Hey, Jesus did this for you. Jesus did that for you. You know, that you can share with people what God is doing. And the hardest people, oh, it's easier to go on the street and preach to somebody than it is to go to your family. Because your family looks at you like, your family says things to you that nobody on the street would probably say to you, but your family will say it to you. I have one of my sisters get in my face one day and scream at me, what makes you think you're so right? Jesus. I didn't have to get mad at Jesus. That's all. I believe what I read. Jesus. Amen. So, you know, every person's called to be a minister and to walk as children of the light. I'm way off my notes right now. But to walk as children of the light. You know, one day I came into the sanctuary. You know, we had that camera set up over there. You notice it's not there anymore. I didn't turn on the lights. I just came in that door and I thought, I'm just going to walk straight to the back. And so I'm feeling for the pillars, you know, because I can't see. I'm feeling for the pillars. And I hit those risers. I went flying. I was like, hey! I mean, I was horizontal in the ground, flying through the air. And I landed, I'm like, oh my gosh, that hurt. I was sailing, you know. So it's gone now. But, you know, I was up in the office the other day, and I turned off the lights because I was leaving. But the front door in the offices was closed. And I'm like, I can't see right now. Instead of pulling out my phone like we all do and making a light, I walked like this. Because I didn't want to slam into the door or hit a door jamb or something, you know. So I got to the door and I opened it and I went out. And I said, oh, I forgot something. So I went back in and I had shut the door behind me. But, you know, my eyes adjusted to the darkness. This is what the Lord told me. I wrote it down. Do you see how easy it is to adjust to the dark? It's so easy
to adjust to the darkness. And you know, I'm not talking about the natural dark. I'm talking about spiritual darkness. That we'll tolerate these things. We'll allow them around us. We'll allow them to come around and be a part. Because we've learned to tolerate the darkness. Now let me tell you this. The darkness will never tolerate you. The darkness will never tolerate you. You will never be okay if you're walking as a children of the light. You will never fit into darkness if you're walking as children of the light. If you got family that's walking in darkness, you're not going to fit in if you're walking in the light. You'll fit in if you're slipping into the darkness. If you've adjusted to the darkness, you'll fit in okay. But if you're not, if you choose, I'm not going to fit into darkness, I'm going to walk as children of the light, you won't fit in. You'll be that outsider. You'll be the one they talk about, the one they laugh about, the one that they shut up when you come into the room. And you got to learn to be okay with that, amen? Don't adjust to the darkness that the darkness is okay with you. Because if the darkness is okay with you, that means the devil's okay with you, and that means you're not being the light. You guys just got real quiet. We need the Holy Spirit. So we don't adjust to the darkness around us. Amen? In this passage that we just read, it tells us, number one, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. You're under no obligation to your flesh. Amen? I don't want to live contrary to the Word of God. The Bible, you know, it goes out of its way to even tell us what the sinful nature is. So we don't have to guess. We know what the sinful nature is. And we don't have to give in. We have no obligation to that nature. Amen? We have no obligation to be in that nature when we're around family. We have no obligation to walk in that nature when we're with our friends. I've had people tell me, come on, Ron, it's okay to have a beer. Not for me, it's not. I've experienced this amazing grace. And because of this grace that's on my life, I don't feel like I ever got to drink again. Amen. I already got two non-drinkers. But I don't feel like that. I don't feel like I got to go back to what those things that the Lord set me free from. Because I have this grace, and I want to exercise God's grace on my life for His glory, amen? As a witness, to be the salt, to be the light, that I bring flavor of the kingdom of God wherever I go, that I bring the light of the kingdom of God in my life where I go. In the Message Bible, in Galatians chapter 5, 16 through 21, I'm going to read this to you because it's powerful. It says, He gives us counsel. He says, my counsel is this. Live freely. Everybody say freely. Animated and motivated by God's Spirit. It's okay to be animated for the glory of God. Amen? Yeah. Get animated. Come alive. He says, then you won't feed your compulsions or selfishness. For there's a root. There is a root of sinful self-interest in us that is at odds with the free spirit. Just as the free spirit is incompatible with selfishness. You ever been around somebody that's really free and they irritated you? Man, that person's really free, you know? You're like, I wish they'd just settle down a little, you know? Yolanda's very free. She's very free. I love it, man. You hang out with Yolanda, you're going to get free. Are you going to get mad at her? Right, Bob? Free Bob up. He's like, I'm not going to answer that. No, Bob became free. He did. He became free. You know that Bob comes every Friday and sings worship in the food ministry with his wife? Because his wife said, I'm going to do it because nobody else is stepping up. So she stepped up and did it. Bob said, well, you're doing it, I'm doing it. You know, the freedom can either rub off for the good, or the freedom takes you to the bar with somebody to help them drown their sorrows. My freedom does not do that. My freedom doesn't compel me to go to the bar. My freedom does not even compel me to sit in the foyer and talk with somebody and counsel them right now. My freedom says we need to get into the presence of God. That when we're in His presence, that's when the fullness of joy comes. When we're in His in the Spirit, that's when we're going to be awakened. Did I read all that? So these two ways of life are antithetical. And that means different.
I'm like, what is antithetical? It means they're different. These two ways are different. So that you cannot live at times one way and at times another way according to how you feel on any given day. So when you wake up in the morning, it's not based on how you feel. When I talk about the presence of God, it's not based on how you feel. It's about walking in the Spirit. It's about knowing what God has declared. He says, why don't you choose to be led by the Spirit and so escape the erratic compulsions of a law-dominated existence? Get out of that mode of doing what you feel and get in the mode of doing what God says. Because, listen, it's not always easy for people to do what God says. Next one. Well, it's obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to get your own way all the time. Repetitive, loveless, cheap sex. A stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage. Frenzied and joyless grabs for happiness. Trinket gods. Idols, magic show religion, paranoid loneliness, cutthroat competition. Is there one more? No, there isn't. There's one more. Okay. No, you skipped one. All consuming yet never satisfied wants, a brutal temper, an impotence to love or be loved, divided homes and divided lives, small-minded and lopsided pursuits, the vicious habit of depersonalizing everyone into a rival, controlled and uncontrollable addictions, ugly parodies of community. He says, I could go on. This isn't the first time I've warned you, you know. If you use your freedom this way, you will not inherit God's kingdom. See, if coming to freedom in Jesus Christ, we are free to serve Him, amen? We are free to live a life of joy and peace and kindness and gentleness and faithfulness. But He says, you're not free to live a life of sin. That's not what I've called you to. I've delivered you from sin to give you a life of righteousness, amen? So He said, listen, if you use your freedom in Christ to live in these sins, then you will not inherit the kingdom of God. All I can hear is the fans running right now. It's powerful scripture. It encourages us. It's encouraging. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. We know we have the option of how we're going to live. We know we have an option of what we're going to do. Amen? We have that option. But one leads to life and one leads to death. And so He says life and death are what? In the power of my tongue. Amen? So what I speak. And so we can choose life. He says, choose life. Amen. He doesn't tell us to choose death. By our actions, go by what we choose. So we have the option to live according to our flesh, which leads to death, or by the Spirit, which leads to life. It's up to us. And you know, you can't skate around it. There's no partial. There's no just doing it a little. There's no, well, I'm good most of the time. It's not about being good. It's about walking with Christ, walking in the Spirit. Walking as children of the light. You may live your life according to your flesh, and everything may seem to be okay. And you wonder why. Well, why? That person doesn't serve God. That person doesn't, and they're doing so good. Well, because the devil leaves them alone, because he's already got them. When you make a move towards Jesus, when you make a move to get free from walking in your flesh, and you make a move to walking in your Spirit, the devil just doesn't go, oh, okay. He says, really? Let's see. So you make a move to walk in the Spirit. Well, I'm going to read my Bible every day. And then you get so busy and you're like, oh man, it gets the end of the week and you're like, I never even cracked my word today. And then, you know, you say, I'm going to go to prayer. I'm going to be in prayer. I'm going to pray every day. You know, and then you get it, you get more hours. You get some overtime. But it's in that time when you were praying. And so, but you're like, well, God's blessing me. So you take the overtime because God's blessing you, but you forget to make another time to pray. You know, because God's blessing you, so he must not want you to pray, right? But isn't that what happens, you know? I mean, God bless you. Oh, God bless me with this beautiful car here. I can't afford to tithe, but I know God blessed me with this beautiful car. See, the devil do what he can, and he'll stir you, and he'll make it look good, and you'll think, wow, I'm doing great, man. I got this house, I got this car, I don't tithe, I don't go to church very often because I have to work overtime, man, I don't get to pray, and I haven't cracked my word, it's got so much dust on it, I don't know what to do. I hope you're thinking about it, not just like, going to shoot me later. See, because walking in the Spirit is different than walking in the flesh. There's a total difference. And with the Lord, there's probably not a lot of compromise, huh? The godly life does not come without walking it out. The godly life comes with adhering to God, amen, to walking in the Spirit, to praying in tongues, to getting filled up, so that you're living out of the overflow of what God pours in you, not living out of half junk, half Spirit. Because that doesn't work with God. He says there's no way. He wants you to move in the overflow. That's what he's looking for. Then it's easier to share with people, Robert. It's easier to share with people when you're at school. Joe, it's easier when you're in college to share with people when you're working out of the overflow. Isaiah, when you're in high school here, it's easier when you're in God's presence, when you're praying in the Spirit, when you're getting with God every day to flow with God. It's easier to walk in the Spirit. But if I only get with him once a week, then I have a hard time. See, if I don't pray in the Spirit every day and get in the Spirit every day, I have a tough time to think about doing God's business instead of my own business. See, because we are all selfish. And I've told you before, you want to have a good marriage? How many of you want to have a great marriage? Don't be selfish. Change it. So we've got to learn to live in the Spirit and not so much in the natural. But we live in a natural world where we live and breathe and eat. You know, I told you, you know, I've given up. I'm doing my best to give up the sugar. I mean, I'm not perfect. It's in everything. Oh, my gosh. Scott, it's in everything, isn't it? You almost got to not eat to not get sugar, you know. Eat a salad with some lemon and you might make it, you know. It's just crazy. Well, probably not the lemon. There's probably sugar in lemons too, you know. You know, so it's just so hard. But I had a printout. I don't know what I did with it. But it said that in, you know, the before the 1900s, the average person ate 2 pounds of sugar a year. You know, now we're up to 150 pounds of sugar a year. That the average person eats 3.5 pounds of sugar a week. A week. The average person. That means you're just going through life and you're not paying attention to what you're eating. You're just eating whatever. Not paying attention. 3.5 pounds of sugar. Now, how many of you would like me to go get you a 3.5 pound bag of sugar and just dump it in? We would never do that consciously. You see, but and it's the same thing about walking in the Spirit. There are certain things that we do in life, like he talks about, you know, there's times when we don't know how to pray. And we don't, and we need the Spirit's help. And there's times we don't know about what we should eat. But there's things in life that we naturally do, and we say things like, well, this is the way we've always done it. This is the way my family did it. This is the way I do it. This is the way my kids are going to do it. Doesn't make it right. Amen? I mean, if you're an angry person, your kids are going to be angry and your grandkids might be angry unless you break it. Because you pass that stuff down. You know, there's just things that pass down. You know, I know my dad was an alcoholic, and let me tell you, I was on my way till the Lord got a hold of me and he stopped me. See, because that stuff gets passed down. And we have to make that decision. We're not going to live according to our flesh. And so what we need to also know is what he said here, is he did not give you a spirit of fear. You can't be afraid of walking in the Spirit. You can't be afraid of what it means to walk in the Spirit. What am I going to have to give up if I walk in the Spirit? What is going to happen if I walk in the Spirit? He told the disciples, wait. Everybody say, wait. For the Holy Spirit to empower them to be able to overcome their weaknesses. And when he filled them, they began to speak in other tongues. I don't think they knew what was coming. I think they looked around and said, oh my gosh, what am I saying right now? I ministered last Sunday morning here. I ministered the same message in our Arabic church last Sunday night. And I had a lady come right here. And Pastor Emel come to me and said, she doesn't know what she's saying. So I went to her, I said, the Lord is filling you with his Spirit. I said, let me hold your hands. I grabbed her by the hands. I started praying for her. She started praying in tongues, and she, the presence of God just dropped, and she pulled her hands away from me and stepped back. I said, it's just the Holy Spirit. She's like, but I don't know what I'm saying. I said, but God does. God knows what you're saying. And when you're praying in the Spirit, you may not know what you're saying, but you're praying the Spirit through you, amen? You're praying the Holy Spirit is praying through you what he wants, what he knows need to be prayed. And that lady, she came to me afterwards and she said, you know, she had some issues with her son. And I said, you know, you're praying in the Spirit may be the very thing you're praying about when you're praying for your son. And you're not praying for him the way you want, but you're praying for him the way the Spirit would want you to pray. See, because a lot of times, even in our prayers, we pray selfishly. But when we're praying in the Spirit, there's no selfishness. There's no praying for our own thing. There's praying the way the Spirit would have us to pray. I woke up super early this morning. I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm just going to pray in the Spirit. Because I'm like, you know, sometimes when you get woken up early, you'd rather go back to sleep. I said, I'll just pray in the Spirit. And that's what I did this morning. That's what I'm trying to do every time he wakes me up, is to pray in the Spirit. But that lady, she said, she looked at me and she said, I'm going to pray in the Spirit every day. You know, when she finally just captured, you're praying for things the Holy Spirit wants you to pray for. So don't be afraid. The Holy Spirit is not meant to bring fear on you. It's meant to bring freedom to you. Amen? You don't have to be afraid of the Holy Spirit and what he'll do in you, what he might call you to. Just go with it. It's going to be better because, listen, Jeremiah 29:11, I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of good and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. So God's not up there thinking about, John 10:10, Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. Well, how do we get it? Praying in the Spirit. So if God's intent is to give me a life, you know, not to harm me, but to give with a future and a hope, and he wants me to have an abundant life, so I don't have to be afraid of what God might do in me, what God might ask of me. You know, I remember Delonda saying, oh, man, what if God asks us to go to Africa? You know, I've been to Africa 3 times this year. You know, that was when we were younger, but by praying in the Spirit, Delonda used to pray in an Asian language. For 2 years, she prayed in an Asian language before we ever went to that country. She prayed in intercession in an Asian language, and then God sent us to that country. It's amazing, you know. Did we choose to go? No, God said go, and God made a way. God makes a way, amen? The Spirit praying through us does things. In Romans 8:26-28, it says this, in the Message Bible, it says, meanwhile, the moment we get tired in the waiting, God's Spirit is right alongside helping us along. If we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He does our praying in and for us, making prayer out of our wordless sighs, our aching groans. He knows us far better than we know ourselves, knows our pregnant condition, and keeps us present before God. That's why we can be so sure that every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into something good. It's worked into something good. Every detail. Every detail. It's the Spirit who helps us to pray. And he'll pray in us and for us through our groanings,
through our sighs, through our praying in tongues. The Spirit prays through us. He uses everything to His glory. Amen. So when you're groaning and you're thinking, I don't know what to do. Just keep on groaning. Amen. And He'll use that groaning for His glory. Amen. And He'll intercede with you, through you. And only God understands this kind of prayer. The devil doesn't know what you're talking about. It's an intimate conversation with God. It's intimate. It's the most intimate conversation you can have is praying in the Spirit. Because the devil can't get you. He doesn't know what you're saying. People around you don't know what you're saying. Unless it's a tongue that needs to be interpreted. But when we're all praying in the Spirit, you know, sometimes people come to me and they say, just pray for me, and I'll pray in the Spirit until God gives me something to pray in the natural. I'll interpret what I'm praying in the Spirit. You know, and that's for public ministry. But when I'm praying in the Spirit in my closet, when I'm praying in the Spirit in my car, I pray in the Spirit in my car too. I pray in the Spirit everywhere I go. And I just worship God in the Spirit. And that's between Him and me. And the devil don't get it. And you might not get it. You might not understand it. But it's between me and God. But you know what it does? It fills me up. It fills me up. It builds my spirit man up. And that's what we need. We need our spirit built up so we can minister out of the overflow and not with a contaminated water. How many of you want to drink that? You don't even know what that is. You don't want to drink it. So how can you minister out of that? We want to just keep pouring in. And praying in the Spirit is just bringing the Spirit of God, just flowing in you. And as you pray in the Spirit, it edifies your soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. So praying in tongues edifies your mind, your will, and your emotions. And as we read earlier, it puts selfishness aside. It puts it down and it brings God's will up in my life. And so when we're being selfish, and you know, and I understand selfishness this day. I understand. There's so much that is available to us in this world that we want to get it. And we get selfish about getting it. We get selfish about having our own way. Oh my gosh, you know, Burger King. Have it your way. Have it your way. You can have it your way. You can have it your way. Have it your way. That seems to be the motto of our lives today. Have it your way. But we've got to get out of that mode and we got to have it His way. Jesus' way. Amen. And praying in the Spirit puts off my selfishness to desire my way and to pick up God's way. Amen. I want God's way. Amen. I want to do what God's called me to do. But just know this, not everything that God calls you to do is easy. Amen. Where I'm going at the end of the month is not easy. As many times as they got me speaking, these are not easy things. You think, well, pastor's going to go on vacation at the end of the month. I'd love to take you on vacation with me. Because it ain't no vacation where I'm going, the things that I'm going to do. When the camera's off, I'll tell you where I'm going and what I'm going to do. But it ain't no joke. And God, but you know what? He didn't give me fear.
Amen.
He didn't give me fear. So I'm not afraid to go. I'm not afraid to go there. I'm not afraid to do open air crusades. I'm not afraid to preach what God's telling me to do. I'm not afraid to walk in the Spirit there. I'm not afraid to share the gospel. I'm not afraid to ride in the front seat. They said, you want to ride in the front seat? I said, yeah, I want to see everything. And they're like, okay. And he goes, I'm surprised you wanted to sit in the front seat. And I'm like, why? And he's like, because everybody can see you. And I'm like, I'm not afraid. I want to see them.
Yes.
I want to see everything, you know. So God does not put us in a position to have fear. So we can't be afraid of what God might do in us, amen. Can't be afraid of what He'll do through you. You can't be afraid of praying in tongues because praying in tongues, it builds up your spirit. It builds up your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions. If your emotions are getting out of control, start praying in the Spirit.
Don't just say, oh, well, that's just how my mom was. And I said, all right, that's not just how, that's how my dad was. So the women don't get mad at me. You know, because you men can get emotional too. I remember I was doing counseling one time. I asked this couple, I said, how many emotions do you have? The guy says, well, I have about 4 or 5. And the lady says, well, I have about maybe 20. I said, well, I got this document here. It says you have, yeah, it's been so long since I read, like 100 or 263 emotions. 263 emotions there are. So I said, okay, here's a list that I'm going to give you. I want you to just, in the A's, there's 24 emotions in the A's. I said, I want you to check off those emotions you walked in. They both checked off 20. You know, the guy came in thinking, I only have 5 emotions. See, but when I'm praying in the Spirit, it helps me with my emotions, amen? Helps me to stay level. It helps me to get a handle on those things. The Holy Spirit helps me. He helps me in my weaknesses, amen? So that when I'm praying in tongues, I can overcome those things. So when the weaknesses are popping up, when you're feeling like, you know, I think I posted yesterday, you know, that Jesus does not tempt anybody to sin. Because God cannot sin, so why would he tempt somebody to sin? So when that temptation comes, I know it's not from God, so what do I do? I start praying in the Spirit, because if that temptation's there, God says he'll give you a way out. Right? He'll give you a way out, Bear. He won't allow you to stay stuck. He'll give you a way out. And we've just got to find it. So praying in the Spirit helps me to find that way out so that I'm not giving into my temptation. Amen? So when you see the value of what happens, did I finish reading that scripture? Well, we'll just keep going. God understands, next slide. God understands, no. Yeah. Go after life as if your life depended on it. Go after a life of love as if your life depended on it. Because it does. Give yourselves to the gifts God gives you. Most of all, try to proclaim his truth. If you praise him in the private language of tongues, there you go. God understands, but no one else does. For you are sharing intimacies just between you and him. But when you proclaim his truth in everyday speech, you're letting others in on the truth so that they can grow and be strong and experience his presence with you. So what that is saying is when you're praying in tongues, it's between you and God. But when you prophesy, that's for everybody. So when you're praying in the Spirit and it's interpreted, that's for everybody. Amen? So fear, understand this. Fear is a spirit. 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So fear is a spirit. It does not come from God. It leads to torment, and it holds us back from what God has for us. So, he's not giving us a spirit of fear, but of power. And that power, as talked about there, is the same power that is given to us when we're filled with the Spirit of God. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Acts 1:8. So that power is that same miracle-working power. Now, listen, I love miracles. I loved it the day Rose stood up out of her wheelchair and walked out of the service. I love that. I love the miracles I've seen around the world that God does. But the greatest miracle of salvation is when we start living out the kingdom of God. When we start living as a witness of light and we start proclaiming the truth. Proclaiming it through how we're living our life and then through our words, and that they match. Amen? And then what we really have is this, 3. You've received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his children. Now we call him Abba Father. He is our Father now. Amen? You're a child of God, and he has a plan for you. You were created for him, by him. Amen. That's why you were created for him and by him. Now we have access to him. We can pray in the Spirit and it'll encourage you. It'll build your spirit man up so much that they'll think, wow, there's no stopping this person. I've prayed in tongues when I've had to make decisions in my life because I need to pray in the spirit, because sometimes, how many of you don't know what to do sometimes? Yes, that's when I pray. Pray in the spirit. Let him just pray through me so that he gives it to me. I pray in tongues when I pray for you. And God gives me things for you. I prayed in tongues for you all the time. I prayed in tongues for Bob today, as I said, because I didn't know quite how to pray. So I prayed in the spirit for him. I pray in the spirit for Maria, who's not here today, who's been battling something in her system here. You know, I pray in the spirit because I don't always know what to pray, but God does. Amen. I pray in the spirit for you guys all the time because I don't know what you're going through all the time. But I do know this. I know that in these days you will be challenged. If you go back to the end of the text in Romans, it says, since we are his children, we're his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we're heirs of God's glory. Since we're his children, we're heirs also. Amen. So that we have the right to receive what he has for us. Amen. To the promises of God. But it also says this. It says, but if we share in his glory, we must also share in his suffering. We don't like that part, but it's true. There is suffering. So I pray in the spirit for you, because I don't always know how you're suffering. I don't always know your need. I don't always know your challenges. So I lift you up to the Lord in the spirit and pray that God would meet you right where you're at. As I said earlier, you may never come and preach. You may never lead a group. But God has called you to be the light and the salt and the light, to influence those people that are around you. You know, I remember one time, God kind of set me on the sidelines in ministry, and I'm like, wow, God, I feel so called. Why am I on the sidelines? And God just told me, he said, your pulpit is everywhere you go. You don't need this. You just need to be able to talk to people. You just need to... I don't have any more clean water. You need to be able to work out of the overflow of what God is pouring into you. Praying in the Spirit. Thank you. Praying in the Spirit puts you into the overflow. And there's still enough to help you. There's still enough to strengthen you. There's still enough to have a drink. Amen? That's what the Holy Spirit does. My mom used to tell me, my mom babysat kids. When I was in high school, I'd come home and my mom would have 25 to 35 kids there. She watched. That lady was incredible. She could watch them kids, and them kids obeyed her. Not that she was mean, but they obeyed her. My mom was a great child watcher. I mean, she raised 6 kids, you know. But she would tell me, she'd say, Ron, man, these ladies, they come in, and their husbands, you know, they come in, and they sit down at the table, and they just open up to me. They just tell me everything, and I'm thinking, why are you telling me all this? I didn't ask. I said, Mom, it's because you're the light. Because you're the light, they're drawn to you. They've come to you. You're a safe place. They can come to you and they can open up to you. And you're not judging them. You're ministering the love of God to them. You're pouring out of the overflow of what God is pouring into you. You're pouring out to them. And that's why she's like, oh my gosh, I see it now. And she did. She saw it. And God used her powerfully to minister to those parents of those kids that she watched. Even up until she was 75 years old, she was watching kids. Up until she got sick, she was You know, and the people were still calling, can we bring our kids? And she's like, no! Because they love my mom. Because they could sit down and they could talk with her. Because she was the light. Maybe you've been experiencing that. You're like, man, I don't know why people come. They just open up to me. Start using that to the glory of God. Let it overflow. Walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. When you walk in the Spirit, you're not trying to fulfill your flesh. Amen? But I wanted you to see today the power of walking in the Spirit. The light attracts people. As I told you, when you're walking in darkness, boy, it would have been a great video to see me flying through the air that day. Because I was sailing. Woo! I landed on my hands. That's how I know I was sailing. And I was like, oh boy. You know, it was like, boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom. I don't want to be adjusted to the darkness. I want to walk in the light. Amen? And this is up to you. When you come to Jesus, you become a joint heir with Jesus. You are His sons and daughters. Praying in the Spirit and walking with God will encourage you so much in this. Don't be afraid of it and don't hold back from it. You may not understand what you're praying, but God does, as the Spirit prays through you. Amen. Why don't we stand today? Please don't leave. We're still going to take communion in a few moments. Why don't we stand today? Why don't we just lift our hands towards heaven this morning? Yeah. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today and we ask, Holy Spirit, we ask that you just come and that you just fill us today. That Holy Spirit, you'd pour out into each one of us. Lord, I pray today that, Lord, that we would all yearn for the Spirit of God, that we would all yearn for the things of the Spirit, that we would yearn to pray in other tongues. God, that we'd not hold back any longer, God. But Lord, that your Spirit would move through us and pray through us, God. Lord, we just surrender our tongues to you today, God, and we choose today to produce life in our tongue, God, to build each other up in the Spirit. Lord, to edify our soul, God, to edify our mind, our will, and emotions. I ask, Lord, that you just fill us today. Just begin to pray in the Spirit for a few minutes here. If you don't pray in tongues, just ask Him for it right now. He said, ask for it. Just open your mouth and begin to speak out. We glorify you, God. We exalt you, God. We glorify you, God. We worship you, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord. Glory, 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 Lord. Glory to you, God. Hallelujah. We exalt you, God, and glorify your name, God. Oh, we worship you, God. We worship you, Lord, in spirit and in truth, God. Let it flow, let it flow, let it flow, Lord. We praise you, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Yeah, just let him fill you today. Just let him fill you overflow. Yeah, that when you leave this place, you're leaving out of the overflow of who he is. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask if the communion service would come right now. Listen, this is an open communion. You just got to believe in Jesus, amen. Believe that he died for you, that he rose from the dead, that he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. If you believe that today, you are qualified for communion. And what we do here is I'm going to ask you to come in a minute and to get the emblems and then hold on to them, and we'll take it all together in a few minutes. But just allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you as we worship right now. And let's just stay in this atmosphere of worship this morning. Come and receive the emblems this morning. Praise you, Jesus.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind,
God for his grace today. Amen. You know, we showed you that video at the beginning today. The great thing about God is he's always working at having a relationship with each one of us. You know, even in the end, when this thing's all wrapped up, the new heavens are coming down to here. He wants to be with us. He wants you to fellowship with him. And I want to encourage you today to pray in the Spirit. And even if you say, I don't yet, then, you know, it says groanings too. Just groan in your spirit. When you don't know what to pray, groan. Just say, God, give it to you, God. Just give it over to him. Amen. But he sent his body be bruised and broken for us. He did it so that we could have life. He did it so that we don't have to live in sorrow. He did it so that, you know, that we could live in fellowship with God the Father. That we could really say, Abba, Father. That we could be joint heirs with Jesus. Amen. This is what his body was bruised and broken for. And in 1 Corinthians 11:23, it says, for I received from the Lord, that's what I also delivered to you, the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed. He took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take ye, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Take it. Obedient to the Father, that you are willing to have your body bruised and broken for us, that we could have life. And Lord, as your word declares, life more abundantly. I speak abundant life over this congregation today, God. That, Lord, that we'd be so alive in Christ. We'd be so passionate about you, Jesus, and what you've done. Even as that video, Lord, when that young man said, you know, you came to dwell among us, and they rejected you to the point that they killed you. And Lord, we know it was our sins that put you there. But yet you said, I forgive you of your sins. And you've sent your Spirit today to fill us, overflowing, that we can flow with God. And we are truly thankful for that today. And you were willing, Jesus. He was willing to shed his blood for us, so that our sins are totally forgiven. That we're washed and we're cleansed in the power of the blood. And as that passage of Scripture said, don't use this freedom to stay in sin. Don't use this freedom to do what you want. Use this freedom to do what God wants. Let's not live selfishly. Let's live selflessly. Amen. To the glory of God. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Let's drink the cup. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We thank you for the shed blood of Jesus. For the washing. Yeah, the washing. I pray today, Lord, that you wash over every sin today. Wash it away. Lord, that you wash over every sickness today by the power of the blood of Jesus. That, Lord, the healing power of God would flow in this place and people would be touched and healed today. And, Lord, that as we go our way, we go in that overflow of God, the overflow of the Holy Spirit. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a big hand today. Hallelujah. Praise God.